Hi everyone, thank you so much for joining in. Today, I'm beyond thrilled to have global fitness influencer, best-selling author of It Takes Grit, and the founder of BTES fitness app, Rebecca Luis, on my podcast to discuss confidence and discipline. An international fitness entrepreneur certified through NASM, Rebecca's mission to help others overcome excuses and achieve lasting change has given her over 400 million views. Her podcast, It Takes Grit, reached over 250,000 downloads and has featured names including Olympic medalists and well-known health and wellness experts. Rebecca has served as the face of the Cox Spot If and has been an ambassador for global recognized brands including Nike, Amazon, Nordic, Track, GoPro, and Disney. Additionally, her success and insights have been featured in a variety of publications. A continual content creator, an empowerment-focused influencer, Rebecca strives to make fitness and success accessible to the masses through her numerous platforms and courses. So Rebecca, thank you again. I'm really excited to have you here and for us to just talk about this topic. This is certainly something that I've never been perfect at, and so I'm super excited to hear your thoughts and maybe helpful for a lot of my listeners. So thank you so much for joining. How are you doing?
Thank you so much. Wow, what a beautiful introduction. I appreciate that. I'm super excited to be here. Thank you.
Absolutely. So can you start us off with just sharing a bit about your fitness journey and how, you know, confidence and discipline have played a role in that?
Yeah, so I'm originally from England and I've lived in America for the last 10 years. And I grew up playing so many different sports. I mean, I was a South of England field hockey player. I played soccer. I was a trained dancer. And I really lost my confidence around the age of like 14 to 15 years old. I was getting bullied at dancing and people would actually fill my lunchbox up with orange juice. And I would come back after class and I'd see that my whole lunch was like destroyed. And so it really did knock my confidence for a while because I was like, you know what? Why do I not fit in? Why am I not feeling like I'm one of the popular kids? And one of the things I've really learned is that it doesn't matter how great you are at something, it's all about your work ethic. And that was something that I was able to take on from such a young age that, you know what, you don't have to be great at something. It doesn't matter how talented you are. It can actually be more about how much you're willing to work and how much you're willing just to keep on showing up. And just, you know, real quickly, one quick story. My ballet teacher, when I was 15 years old, told me that I wasn't, if I wanted to take this certain exam, it's one that you had to go up to London for. It was a bigger exam that I had to get honors in another ballet exam that I was doing. And I was like, you know what? No problem. I'm going to go for it. I'm going to work hard. And I got honors in that exam. And I remember going to my dance teacher and saying, hey, you know what? Look, I've got the grade that you wanted me to get. Now can I do this other one in London? And she said, no. And I think that was a pivotal moment where I was like, I am never going to allow somebody else to control and dictate what I can and can't do. And I think that it could have gone two ways. It could have really knocked my confidence. And I think that actually that moment was a pivotal change in my life when I was like, you know what, I'm just going to keep on going for it. And somebody else's opinion of what I'm capable of is not going to come into my environment and my energy. So that was one thing that I really learned from a young age to say, you know what, I'm going to keep on going for it and I'm going to show you.
It's awesome that from, you know, on a young age, you were able to recognize how easily your confidence can be knocked down, whether that's through bullying or just little things like that. But I fully agree with you. Work ethic is everything and it really does make all the difference. So previously you've stated somebody else's opinion of you, not even a fact, just an opinion, can shape our lives, can shape our identity, and can shape our confidence. So can you expand more on how to not let those opinions get the best of you?
Yeah, I mean, everybody's going to have their opinion. And look, someone's opinion might change of you. Someone might have told you something 2 years ago about who you are. And remember, it's just their opinion. It's not a fact. And 2 years later goes past and they've changed their opinion, but you're still holding on to that. And you're still holding on to what they said about you. And you've made it your new identity. You know, we take things very personally. But I feel like the more times that we work on ourselves and we understand that when somebody has a negative opinion on us, it's 99.9% of the time a reflection on how that person's feeling. And sometimes we can use it as feedback. I mean, you know, there's been times where someone has said, Rebecca, this is, you know, how you are, X, Y, and Z. And I've been like, you know what? Let's just take a look at that. Can this be useful? Can it be good feedback? And then there's times where some people will say something and I'd be like, that is just a reflection of how that person's feeling. So I think that we take things so personally. We're human. We have emotions. We feel. We feel that energy from somebody else if they're not giving it to us in the way that we perceive. But at the end of the day, everybody is entitled to their opinion. And it's up to you if you want to take that on and make it your identity, or you want to have the identity of who you know that you really are at the core.
Right. And I definitely agree. You know, we easily find things to, you know, and we take things personally as well. But I think you're right in that, you know, some others may know part of your story, but they don't know the whole thing, you know. And so a lot of what they can be saying, we can be using that as feedback, but we need to also understand that they don't know the whole story and they don't know everything about us. Because emotions, what they think about us, that's going to change over time. In a recent podcast, you shared that visualizing tools greatly help when it comes to building confidence, because it's important to visualize yourself being confident and manifesting, dreaming your success. So can you expand more on the importance of visualization and why it's important?
Oh yeah, this is one of my favorite things, because when you visualize something, and it's not just once, it's over and over again, you become emotionally connected to it. And that drives you. You know, some people say, well, how do you stay motivated? How do you keep getting up? How do you stay, you know, driven? But I am so emotionally connected to my dreams, my goals, my aspiration, the impact that I want to have. And the reason I can be so motivated, in fact, I don't even feel I need to be motivated anymore, I just am, is because I have dreamt and I have daydreamed and I have thought about it over and over again. Like, what will it feel like? What does it look like? How will I walk? What's the type of person that I get to become to have the kind of impact that I want? And I feel like when you're manifesting and you're visualizing, it creates this energy inside of you, like this intrinsic drive. Because if you don't think about what it could be like in the future to have the kind of life that you want, whether the type of body that you want, the type of family, the type of friends, the type of relationship, you don't know what that feels like. So you get to every day manifest a little bit, dream a little bit, and then just really feel what that's going to be like. And so I think that that's a reason that's actually kept me motivated, is because I've got emotionally connected to my dreams, my goals and aspirations by playing role plays in my head, by thinking about what would it feel like when I reach this goal? Like, what would I be wearing? How would I be talking? And so I think that, you know, as humans, when we have fire inside of us and we're driven, we're more likely to take action. And look, at the end of the day, when it comes to confidence, how do you get more confident? You have to take action. There's the only way to get more confident at something is to keep on doing it. You know, I remember when one of my first trainers came onto my app, and she wasn't very confident at the beginning. And when she came on, a lot of people were not very nice to her and said, oh my goodness, yeah, I don't like her videos, blah, blah. And I could see that she was new and she was nervous. And I wasn't like, hey, I'm just going to pull her out. I was like, no. All this girl needs is a little bit more confidence. The only way that she's going to get confidence is like I keep putting her in the videos. And now she's like everybody's favorite. And so I think that we get so, again, that goes back to people's opinions and how they feel. And we can really take it one way or the other. But as long as you've got people around you that keep on pushing you and saying, you know what, doesn't matter if somebody's saying negative, you're just going to get better and we're going to show them. I love that story because it just really shows that making sure that you have the right mentor and the people around you that aren't going to say, oh, just quit because it's not working. It's like, and it's also proof that if you keep on doing something, you're going to get better at it. And then you're, because your confidence is increasing.
And I couldn't agree more with that, is when you visualize something, you get emotionally connected. I think back to 2 years ago during my sales internship, and something that was just drilled into us is that emotions create actions. And, you know, that's part of why we, within sales, we were taught to be sharing stories is because when you share stories, you also create emotion. And that is what really will drive others. It's how to move people, and it's how to not only convince, but motivate others. So I think you have a really great point with that. According to a Harvard Business Review article, there's a study done around how people react to confidence. And it's interesting. It shares how people view confident people as more competent, even when their performance suggests otherwise. One explanation to this is that we tend to believe what we're told and to conform our beliefs by selecting information that supports them. So if you project confidence, others tend to believe you know what you're talking about. I'm curious what your thoughts are on that quote, and if you can expand more between the difference on confidence and competence.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's that kind of saying, like, fake it until you make it, right? I mean, a lot of times people have said, I don't even know what you're doing, Rebecca, but I want to be part of it because you're excited and you have good energy and you have a great attitude. So I think that when you're confident, you are a bit more alive and you have a better vibe about you. And so I think that you create that competence by being confident to start off with, because that's what's going to build it. It's going to, those two things are going to kind of build together. And so being confident is having that great energy, is bringing people into your environment, getting people to want to come on the journey with you. You know, it's not look at me, it's come with me. You know, so many times people have said, you know, I don't even know what you're doing, Rebecca, but you have great energy. And I think sometimes if you have great energy and a great attitude, right, that comes, but people want to be part of that journey. And maybe it's like, oh my God, I don't really feel that confident. Don't worry about feeling confident. Just think about having and focusing on being a really, having really great energy and having a really great attitude. Because if you think about it, when you've got those two things, the energy and the attitude, people are going to want to be around you. Right? They're going to want to follow what you're doing, and therefore it's going to breed more confidence. So if you're somebody out there right now who's like, you know what, I just don't really feel that confident, start off, or I'm not even that competent at doing what I'm meant to be doing because fear is holding me back, or I don't think I know enough. All you need to do is actually start off with a great attitude and great energy.
Well said. And energy and attitude, that's something that people recognize from miles away. And that makes a lot of sense as to why it's so important to have that, because it does make a big difference. So moving forward, I recently watched a clip by Jocko Willink, and he's a former Navy SEAL, and the clip was focused on motivation. Every Monday, he posts motivational clips, but this Monday was a little different. And he stated, some of you are looking for motivation today. Well, go look somewhere else because you aren't going to find it here. I woke up this morning, I didn't have motivation, and you know what? It didn't matter. It didn't matter at all. Instead, I imposed discipline. So if you aren't finding that Monday motivation that you want, forget about it. Instead, impose daily discipline in your life and start today. So I'm not giving a lot of justice to that. It's his, even his accent was perfect. And I love that quote. I think he had, there's just so much truth into that, is that we're not going to wake up every morning motivated. There are going to be times where we still have to get the job done, even when we don't want to. And so I really love that quote and resonated with it as well. And so I'm wondering if you can expand more on the difference between discipline and motivation and your thoughts around that quote.
Oh, I love that quote. That was a great find. Yeah, and it kind of goes back to what I was saying at the beginning, where I don't feel like I need to be motivated. Like somebody else doesn't need to motivate me to do something, because I've just trained my body to show up, and that comes from discipline. And I think that once you show up enough, even when life is difficult, you create the discipline and the habit. So yeah, I don't need to get motivated to go to the gym. I don't need to get motivated to do my work. Like there's no such thing for me now of like feeling motivated, because it's just inside of my body. It's just who I've become and what I do. And so one thing that I talk about is, you know, the three ways of showing up. And this comes with discipline. You know, a lot of times we feel like, you know, I just don't really feel like showing up today. Like they're the times that you You must show up, because two different people will make two different decisions. One person will be like, you know what, I'm just going to show up regardless. And the other person's like, no, I'm just not going to today. That person that says, no, I'm not going to go do that today, they're just going to go further away from the fire. They're going to go further away from their goals and their dreams. So my three ways of showing up is, number one, show up and get your body in the room. If it's a Zoom call, if it's an event, if it's a workout, if it's whatever, just get your physiological body in the room. That's step number one. Even when you don't feel like it, and in fact, it's even more important to do it when you don't feel like it, get yourself in the room. Number two, you show up, your physiological body's there, and your brain and your mind is there as well. I'm sure that we've all been to a workout class, or we've been in an event, or we've been on a Zoom something, and we're there physically, but we're not there emotionally, right? And that's fine. That's okay. But you've got to be able to at least get there physically so that you can then go on to the step two, which I just mentioned, which was physiologically and also mentally as well. So boom, there you have it. You've got yourself in the room. You're there physically. You're there mentally. And then the third way of showing up is, you show up, your body is there, your mind is there, and then you're bringing people with you. And if you don't even do the very first thing about just getting your body into the room, you won't be able to move on to step two. And then you won't be able to move on to step three. And step three is the most important, because that's where you get to be a change in other people's lives. You're going to make impact. And you're like, hey, you know, I brought my friend to this workout class, or I brought my friend to this event. But we get to show up in those times that's the most challenging. You know, I remember when I was 27 and I was going through a divorce, and I would be rocking forwards and backwards on my sofa crying, and then a Zoom call would put up and I would have all my team on there. I'd be like, what's up, everybody? It's Rebecca Louise. Super excited. Like, let's go do this. We're doing this today. Super fun. The laptop would close down and I'd go back to like crying. And no, the last thing that I wanted to do was to get on a Zoom call. But I was like, no, my body is trained to show up. And that's having the discipline to show up even when it's a struggle and even when it's difficult. And I think if you can train your body to do that, you're going to create that self-discipline, and you're never going to feel like you need, you know, the Monday motivation, or you need, you know, your friend to text you to say, hey, come on, let's go do this workout. It's just innate inside of you.
Mm-hmm. And that makes a lot of sense. And it's awesome is, you know, ensure that you get to that point, is that, you know, trust that your body, you know, trusting that you're actually going to show up, but to the point where it actually becomes a part of you, and that makes all the difference. So kind of going off of what you said within, you know, showing up with your mind, on a recent podcast, you stated, be present in the moment. If you're with friends, you're with friends. If you're with family, you're with family. If you're on a Zoom call, you're on a Zoom call. If you're doing a workout, you're doing a workout. If you're doing work, you're doing work. Whatever you're doing, you have to be present in the moment, because it gives each moment meaningfulness. If you're trying to do a million things at once, you're not going to enjoy the whole experience and you won't be happy. Enjoy the moment and get to experience everything that comes with that element. And so I applaud you with, you know, when it came to that Zoom call, is, you know, there was a lot of other things going on, but you still found a way to be present and find a way to connect with your team. And so I'm wondering if you can share tips as to how to build that discipline to be fully present in the moment.
Yeah, and honestly, it's a never-ending process, trying to be present in the moment. Mm-hmm. And I think that in a world that we live in right now, with so many distractions, with Apple Watches that beep, and there's all things going around, notifications, don't beat yourself up. First of all, don't beat yourself up. Like, we're all going through this process. Nobody is going to be perfect at it. I'm still working on it. But there's a great book called The One Thing. And that really shifted a lot of my mindset, because, you know, we feel like, oh, multitasking, like I can multitask, I can do this, I can do that. But the actual time that it takes your brain to go from one thing to another, you actually lose more time. So it's actually better just to focus on one thing at a time, especially if you're doing work and you've got like a, you know, a million things going on. You're trying to do them all at once, right? It's actually best to pick one thing. And I think that it's just being aware. It's just taking those moments each day. Maybe you set an alarm on your phone where you're like, just checking in with your breath, checking in with, are you being present? Like, we need reminders to check that we're being present. Like, we need a reminder to check that we can breathe. You know, I've got the new Apple Watch, and every so often it's like, hey, you need to breathe. I'm like, okay, great reminder, because if I wasn't being reminded, I would definitely not remember to take those breaks and breathe. So I think it's just working on that discipline. If you have to set an alarm a couple of times a day, just to remind yourself, hey, are you present? Are you enjoying the moment? Are you focused on what you're doing right now? It's going to give you those tools. So that's one of the big things that has really worked for me, is like just being aware of it. And look, if you're listening to this podcast, you're already wanting to be aware. You're already making progress and making steps to actually help you be more present in the moment. And it's then, you know, it's for me, it's like finding that right time. So if I want to go spend time with my friends and family, like, and I know I'm going to meet them at a certain time, and I've got some work to do, like, I want to make sure that I get it done. Whether that means I've got to wake up an hour earlier, I got to get my workout in. I'm very, very organized. You know, I use Google Calendar. Everything is like literally laid out to a T. So I think that you being able to be present in the moment also comes from really great organization skills. Because if you are not organized, you know, you're getting things that are overlapping. You're like, oh my goodness, I'm going to be late for this. I was supposed to be here. So get yourself organized, set your reminders, give yourself grace, and just, you know, enjoy the present moment.
And it's interesting that you bring up, you know, it's actually better for us to focus on one thing at a time. It's sometimes we feel like we can get everything done, but, you know, we can't. It's important to prioritize what you actually need to be getting done. I mean, I'm going to have to try that, is, you know, have those little reminders to keep me in check as to, am I, you know, actually being present in the moment? Because you're right, there's distractions all over, and it's easy to want to do. There's always going to be something else to do. So it's a matter of having that discipline to, you know, prioritize what actually needs to get done and sticking to it. So moving forward, can you share on the importance of building a consistent routine and how that relates to discipline?
Yes, I mean, routine is everything. You know, how you set up your day is absolutely key, and it's vital. And you might go through phases of your life where you're just crushing it, and then sometimes you're going to fall off. That's absolutely normal. But you know that once you've been through that routine, how important it is and the difference that it makes to your life. And our body likes rhythm. You know, our body likes to go to sleep at the same time. It likes to wake up at the same time. It's going to help your body just get into that habit. You know, so if you're, even if you're waking up at a different time on at the weekends, right, it's actually going to set your rhythm off throughout the week. And it actually kind of gives you almost like jet lag. So really important is to go to bed at the same time every night and get up in the morning. I was listening to a great podcast the other day with Jay Shetty, and he's like, no emails before breakfast. I was like, okay, I think I can do that, because most of the time what we do is we roll out of bed and we check our phones, and, you know, then we're getting distracted. And before you know it, we've either seen an email, we've seen a post or something that's not maybe put us in the best state and frame of mind. So enjoy your morning. Like, have fun that, you know, getting up in the morning. You know, I like to get up. I like to go to hot yoga. That's for me is like meditating, stretching, come back, having my breakfast. You know, I love playing some, you know, relaxing music in the morning, get my incense going with a candle. And no, do I do it every day? No, but I do my very best to make sure that I am aware of it. Adds to the fact that I even take incense and candles away when I travel, so that I feel like I'm at least having a very similar experience as to when I was at home, because it just makes me feel like I'm still in that routine. So it's kind of like rituals. You know, I come down, I make my tea, I make my smoothie, I'm setting my incense, I'm putting the music on. It's like, it's a whole journey just to start the day, you know, and mm-hmm. you just get to put it into your life. What fits in? And what do you enjoy? Like, make your mornings fun and enjoyable, and it's going to set you up for a great day. I know when I wake up on time and I get my workout in and I've had a great morning, and, you know, before 8 a.m., I'm like set for the day. And I just know that my energy is going to be good, the way that I feel, my nerves, my excitement, all of the things are going to be a lot more streamlined throughout the day, you know, once I execute a really great morning routine.
Absolutely. And as much as we want to wake up, check our emails, thinking that we're getting one step ahead of the game, in reality, you know, we're going to be much more productive if we take the time to actually get rest, take time to figure out how can I de-stress? What are some things that I can do to make this day even better? What are other, how can I relax even more? So there's a lot that goes into that. And I think you bring up a good point that routine is everything. And there are going to be times where you slip, but you know, once you start getting in that habit, you'll start seeing the value of it very easily. So can you share on why confidence and discipline is important in leadership and what are common mistakes that you see leaders make?
Oh, yeah. I mean, going into a leadership role, at the end of the day, that you are always learning. And I think that one thing that people make a mistake of is they start to get a little bit of leadership. They start to get a little bit confident. And then they are being isolated away from their team, or they're not listening to their team anymore. So what I found is that ask your team questions. Like, a real leader wants to know what everybody's doing in the organization. They want to hear their ideas because, you know, you're kind of sometimes so far removed from where you got started, it's hard to relate because you're at a different level. And so a lot of times I found like leaders will be like, okay, I got this now, no problem. And they'll go and create their own little groups, their own subgroups, and they'll be trying to lead people rather than being like, you know what? I'm going to stay close to the fire of what helped me build to a leader. And I'm going to make sure that I always stay grounded. You know, so, you know, I have two different businesses, one of them where, you know, I've got a team of over 500 in network marketing. And then I've got another team where I employ, you know, 10 people. But it's like, it's not saying like, oh, I'm the leader, I'm the CEO. It's like, great. Like, who's really great at this skill? Like, who's good at this? And so that, you know, you get to start to everybody becoming, you know, the very best version of themselves because you're giving them, you know, the power. It's not about the leader having the power of running the organization. They're just there to like basically navigate it. It's like, oh my goodness, that person's got a great idea. It's like almost the execution because, you know, a lot of times, you know, you won't have the next best idea. It's going to come from somebody who's in a different department to you or who's brand new and they've got fresh new eyes. So, you know, when I have my team calls, we do a lot of masterminding. And for me as a leader, my role is just to navigate these new ideas and see how we can execute them. So a lot of times I think people become into that managerial role and they're like, right, now I'm the CEO. Now I've got to manage all these people. And it's like, no, like these people, they're adults. They can manage themselves, right? And let's just have some creativity and innovation so that we can execute some new ideas.
Absolutely. And I think it takes a lot of discipline, but also a lot of humility to recognize that, you know, you're not going to know everything and there's no way that you will, but it's important to know that you're always learning and you need to be listening to your team. You need to be listening to others, learning from others and asking questions, because at the end of the day, that's what's going to be key to you growing and you helping others to grow. So it does make all the difference. So I fully agree with you on that. Are there any final thoughts around confidence and discipline that you'd like to share before we conclude?
Yeah, one of my favorite quotes that my mentor gave me 8 years ago, and it's really stuck with me. And I think this really helps with confidence because there's always going to be people in your life that try to pull you down or say, you can't do this. This isn't possible. What are you thinking? And my mentor said to me, don't take advice from someone you wouldn't trade places with. And I was like, wow, that blew my mind. Like, don't take advice from someone you wouldn't trade places with. And so I think from that moment, you know, I was like, well, I want to be in the place where my mentor is. So I'm going to listen to them. And those other people who are saying, oh, I don't know what you're doing. It's not going to work. Like, it's not possible. What are you doing? I was like, I do not want your life. Like, why am I even listening to you? I think sometimes we get caught up in that negativity, but just remind yourself, you know, just say, okay, thank you, no problem. Take a deep breath, exhale everything out, and just in your mind be like, I don't want their life, because somebody more successful than you will never judge you. Somebody more successful than you will never judge you. And so if your confidence is getting knocked by people trying to pull you down, just be like, oh, right, no problem. I'm really glad that you're saying these things because I do not want the life that you have. So I think that was the biggest takeaway for me when it started to work on confidence, was don't take advice from someone you wouldn't trade places with.
Right. And it's interesting that sometimes, you know, other people may be giving us advice or maybe saying this or that about what we're doing, but in reality, they may, in a way, be jealous of some of the things that we're doing. And so it's an interesting thought. Well, Rebecca, I really do appreciate your time and you coming onto my show. Your advice has just been phenomenal. So thank you so much. And I hope all the best for you.
Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
Absolutely. Listeners, if you have any questions, please feel free to contact us via LinkedIn. Also, I highly recommend checking out Rebecca's podcast and blog resources. You can do that by going to her website, which I'll include a link to in my description, but you can go to www.rebecca-luis.com. But with that, thank you, everyone. Appreciate you listening and have a great day.